It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. The topic this weekend is going to be business, growth, and development with a pair of representatives from the Tuolumne County Business Council. When we first planned the show, we had initially invited Ron Kopp, the Business Council Executive Director, and Barbara Farkas, the President of Citizens for Responsible Growth, to come on and have a back-and-forth discussion regarding these topics. Farkas, however, declined the invitation and Kopp accepted, so we decided to continue with the idea of the show. And since Ms. Farkas declined, a second member of the Business Council is also joining us this morning, Jeff Radowdy, the group's co-chair. So, Mr. Kopp, Mr. Radowdy, thank you for coming in.
Good, thank you, BJ.
Thank you for having us.
And Jeff Radowdy, first off, for people who aren't familiar, what exactly is the Tuolumne County Business Council?
Yeah, BJ, we're a group of about 40 business leaders in the community where we're all trying to get together to support an improvement to the county. This could be activities that create more jobs or just a better, more prosperity in the county. One of the specific things we do with our members is we really try to keep everybody educated on the key issues of the county, things that are new and that we want to make sure we fully understand. For example, we've had the new leader of the California Marijuana Regulatory Group, Lori Ajax, to one of our meetings, so we could just understand what is going on in that hot business topic. So for the most part, we're just a group trying to support each other and improve the county.
And as I mentioned, you are the co-chair. Who is the other chair?
Glenn Caldwell of Caldwell Insurance.
Very good. And Ron Kopp, anything else to add about the Business Council?
Yeah, we also try to work with balancing and streamlining and simplifying the cumbersome levels of government regulation and try and make it easier for businesses that are both existing and looking to come into this area to prosper.
And for people who aren't familiar with your individual backgrounds, you know, how did you get involved with the Business Council?
I got involved on the Business Council when they were looking for a new director several years ago. My background is landscape architecture, land planning. I've been in the real estate and development business for a number of years, both from an entitlement standpoint and developing mixed-use master plan communities that incorporate a lot of different types of housing, from affordable housing up through custom homes and the parks and recreation elements, as well as the commercial.
And Jeff Radowdy, how about you?
Well, I came to the community about 4 years ago to take the role of CEO of Blue Mountain Minerals. And one of the great things about Blue Mountain is that very active involvement in the community, whether it be supportive nonprofits or very active involvement in the business community. So it was a natural fit for me to get involved with the Business Council and ended up as co-chairman. I seemed to have missed a meeting one day and came back for the next meeting and found myself as co-chairman of the council.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And why do you feel more economic development is needed for this area, Jeff?
You know, when I think about economic development, I like to distill it into we just all benefit from having more rooftops. You know, we can use the word rooftop as an analogy for economic development. And when we have more economic activity going on, that means there's more jobs for families. There's more people who get to have the opportunity to live in this beautiful area versus just the people who are here currently. So we look at new things in the county as opportunity for people to have better lives.
Ron Kopp, how about you? What would you say about why we need more economic development?
Yeah, we've had a declining population in our county for several years now. We're losing student population, and it's a cycle that you have to look at where you need more jobs, but you also need housing for people to live in. And some people say, well, I moved to this area, and I don't want it to grow. But when you look at our overall area, we have very small percentage of our overall county, less than 3%, that is really slated for future development. And when you look at where the key areas are that actually can have good infill development with good services, close to core services, good utilities, and good access from roads, they're very few and far between. So when we do have these projects that are proposed that have been planned for the last 30 years or so with the county general plan and their zoning, we really need to support those and let those happen.
As a group that's been promoting the idea of needing more economic growth, I know you've promoted the idea of needing more housing as well in this area. What do you see as the big impediments to doing that?
The challenge for especially this particular new housing has just been a lot of regulation and a lot of groups that really do not want anything new in the county. And it's a tremendous disservice to a number of constituents of this county to limit housing. For example, we had Raj Rambab come speak to the Business Council regarding the homeless situation in the county. He feels strongly, as do we, that a portion of the homeless situation could be resolved by just having more available housing in the county. And with the lack of housing in this county, it just exacerbates that problem.
Yeah, I mean, as Jeff was pointing out, one of the key issues is we absolutely need more apartments in this this community. We have a waiting list on almost every if not every apartment project or community that we have in this area. And when there were 80 high-end apartments that were proposed in Columbia that had gone through several years of planning, that was also sued by Barbara Farkas and Citizens for Responsible Growth, which we didn't feel had much merit to their lawsuit. That was an existing piece of property that was zoned commercial. It was actually going to be downzoned for mixed-use residential and for a need that's very much needed in this area. When you talk to the hospital, you know, when they're trying to attract nurses and doctors, a lot of those people want to come to town and be in a good apartment so that they can get a lay of the land and figure out where they want to live. And we just don't have a lot of that housing that's available for them right now, which is hurting their ability to attract services, people to fill the services that we desperately need.
Jeffrey Dowdy, I'd like to ask you a little bit about the issue of lawsuits. The Business Council has written some guest blogs on mymotherlode.com in regards to the lawsuit that's been slowing the Stone Mill Center project near the Pedro Y in Columbia. You know, can you kind of just elaborate on your concerns in that realm right now?
Yes, with regard to the lawsuits, this is something from Blue Mountain's perspective, we've had a significant amount of experience with. And they center around people misusing the CEQA program in order to stop any development, any changes to the county. We had two examples of that, both in the early 2000s and then in essentially 2010 through 2015, where various groups decided to use CEQA to offer a lawsuit or put a lawsuit in to stop something that they felt should not move forward. That certainly was not the point of CEQA. CEQA was there to make sure that nothing bad was happening to the environment as things developed. And it has been just used as really an obstacle to keep anything from moving forward. And one of the challenges you have with the litigation is it essentially is no risk for any party to litigate. If they file a lawsuit and the party that's being sued decides to withdraw that lawsuit, there's an obligation to pay their legal fees. That doesn't seem fair to me or to the business community. It certainly should be whoever is filing that lawsuit has risk involved, has economic risk involved, just as the person who's being sued does.
CEQA, for anyone not familiar, is referred to as the California Environmental Quality Act. Ron Kopf, anything else to add on that topic?
Yeah, I think as Jeff pointed out, that CEQA was put in place really to protect the environment. But unfortunately, it's morphed into a legal tool. And where you find it most often used is by groups that are known as NIMBY organizations, not in my backyard. And there was a very interesting study that was put out by Holland and Knight that looked at over a two-year period all the lawsuits that were filed under CEQA. And what they found was over 52% of those were filed by groups that were just not wanting something to happen in their neighborhood. The rest of the lawsuits, or many of the remainder of the lawsuits, were actually filed by organizations that wanted to force prevailing wage. So it was unions. And a lot of times it was competing unions filing the lawsuits so that they were the union that got to do the large public works projects. So what it tends to do is it costs taxpayers a lot more money, and it greatly impacts the ability to bring needed services, a lot of times housing and different commercial projects into neighborhoods. And these are filed against schools and road projects and bridges. And a lot of our legislators, Governor Brown and a lot of our assembly members and senators, even say that the California Environmental Quality Act process is broken and it needs reform. However, it's very difficult to get that done, because when the unions want that, what they'll do is they'll go to those legislators and say, we'll fund a campaign for somebody else. We don't want you voting against that. And it just makes it very difficult to change in our legislature. legislature.
On the local sense, being kind of involved on the ground, do you see some specific things that would be like easy fixes that maybe they could do in Sacramento to change CEQA?
I think the first thing is the legal fees. If you make it a level playing field for legal fees, so somebody who files a lawsuit is highly likely to incur legal costs. Right now, it is the person who is being sued is the one who has the legal costs. I think that would eliminate a lot of the frivolous lawsuits. And if you've got a stake in the game, a financial stake in the game, then you probably will only move forward if you feel very strongly about your position. Right now, I think people don't have to feel strongly about their position. As Ron just noted, you can have very small organizations without any financial resources. They can go ahead and file lawsuit after lawsuit, slowing down or stopping projects that would be very beneficial to the community because they really don't have a financial reason not to do so.
Need to take a break. We're talking about business growth and development on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We're pleased to be joined in studio by Ron Kopp, who is the Tuolumne County Business Council Executive Director, as well as Jeff Redowdy, who is the group's co-chair. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll return with our second segment in just a minute.